Then you left me, and with you gone, life just doesn't seem half so fine. So I sit here blue and so lonely, there's nothing left to do but dream of you. Just dream of you.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand neath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Well, you can know that the music's fine, like sparkling wine, go and have your fun. Laugh and sing, but while we're apart, don't you give your heart to anyone. But don't forget who's taking you home. You're gonna be. So, darling, save the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much. Well, you can dance, you can carry on till the night is gone and it's time to go. If he asks if you're all alone, can he take you home? You must tell him no. 'Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me.
This is the September 21st meeting of the City of Goleta Parks and Recreation Commission. We'll start by having the board stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And could we move on to the roll call, please?
Chair Richards?
Here.
Vice Chair Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Barsky?
Here.
Commissioner Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Rojas?
Here.
Commissioner West is absent. Commissioner Sinskull?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any speaker slips for the public forum section?
No, I've not received any, Chair Richards.
All right. I'm moving along to the consent calendar. We have the approval of the minutes from the August 20th meeting.
Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission, you have in your packet the draft minutes from your last meeting of August 20th. And if you have any questions about the minutes, we're happy to take those. Otherwise, we can entertain a motion.
Any questions? Do we have a motion for approval?
I move that we approve the minutes as stated.
Second?
I second it.
All right. Are there any objections to approving the motion by consensus? None. Oh, and we do have an abstention for that. Is that correct? We were all here. Okay, sorry.
I wasn't here, but I watched it.
Okay. All right. So no objection. So minutes approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving along to our discussion item, item B.
Mr. Chair and members of the commission, tonight we have a presentation for you from the Santa Barbara Family YMCA, and also we have a staff report by Ms. Reyes Martin on recreation needs and youth and senior programming.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce to the commission Vince Ugolano from the Santa Barbara Family YMCA. We're very happy to have him here today. He is going to give a kickoff our discussion this evening on recreational programming with a brief presentation on the YMCA's offerings and some of their current work efforts that they are participating in. And at the conclusion of his presentation, then I have a brief presentation before we get into our discussion. So Vince, you're welcome to.
Good evening, Chair, Commissioners. Thank you for this honor of presenting. I promise to keep it extremely short. So if you want anything added on at the end or if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. And my contact information is on the last sheet. So if something bubbles up after the meeting or you wanted further clarification or information on one of our programs or services, please feel free to either call me in my office or email me. I put together a very short service through programs presentation for the commission tonight to kind of walk you through some of the unique programs and some of the garden variety programs that the YMCA offers to the citizens of Santa Barbara, Goleta, San Ynez, Montecito, parts of Montecito, and Carpinteria. I laid it out in the eight major areas when we started to go through this for our board presentation for our own needs assessment, and I broke it into eight major areas. And for this presentation, I really focused in on giving you some background information and kind of how we view the city of Goleta and how excited we are about the possibilities in the future of us expanding some of our programs and services. I promise all 8 points of these, it'll be really quick. So I wanted to show you a reliable sample size of our programs over the last 7 years. We've broken it into five major program areas, which I'll walk you through. I'll talk a little bit about program participation in stats, just numbers, how many people we're serving per program, the fiscal impact of the programs, our hopes for expansion of programs and services to the city of Goleta, give you a little background on what we're doing in the child care and preschool realm, which offers services to citizens of the city of Goleta, and the things that we're doing at Foothill Elementary, which is part of Goleta Union School District. We'll talk a little bit about the fiscal impact of Department 21 and 22, which is after-school child care and our preschool program, our licensed preschool program. And then real briefly, our next steps and give you a little bit of a peek of what our strategic plan and the process we're going through. We just yesterday presented to our governance committee for our board of directors at the YMCA, which was approved with a couple of edits, and then the final approval through our board will be in October. So we'll have a strategic plan for 2015 through 2018 in place at the end of October. On the third sheet, which is the first slide, just wanted to show you a little bit about our programs and how we've grown in the five major areas over the last 5.5 program years. Our five major areas is our aquatics program, our camping, so all of our summer camping, our resident camping, our youth development camping over the summer. Our leadership programs like Youth in Government, which we go to Sacramento for 1 week in February, and we model democracy through a program that was set up about 60 years ago with California YMCA. Model United Nations, our progressive individual leadership of teens programs, those are all in our leadership department. PE enrichment, which is a big area where we're starting to build. We didn't have anything in place 4 years ago, if you can believe it, when it comes to after-school enrichment and structured physical education programs for 5 through 18-year-olds. So we're really starting to make some major efforts there, and we're really starting to grow. We're starting to see it really pop. And then our, you know, long historical youth wellness and sports programs. You can see the growth across the board on those. Program participations, if you just look at 2010 when we brought in some new staff, we had new leadership, we really redesigned the department, and we've almost doubled the numbers in four program years. We served 7,600 individuals this last program year, which is an amazing number. That's across those five major program areas. And you can kind of see how it breaks up by major area. On the next slide, which is really exciting for us, as a nonprofit charity, the YMCA sometimes wrestles with being able to provide services versus being able to fund our mission. We're a $5.5 million a year organization. The vast majority of those dollars is membership. And membership really fuels, at most wise, our mission work. The blessing here is that through hiring really great staff and changing some of the things that we do, our program department now, without the minor subsidizations that we get from grants and through our campaign, really funds itself. And that's the really exciting part, that we were losing money in the past. And that's okay with the Y mission. But we thought we can do more. And through some of the strategic changes we made, our income has grown, our impact has grown, our service has reached farther than it ever has, and we're not losing money anymore, which is great. So that just gives us an opportunity to offer more scholarships and reach out even further to folks that just can't afford programs and or don't have access to those programs. So that's very exciting. On the next sheet, you'll see a little bit about our program expansion by participation and how it's kind of shifted. We've really dedicated ourselves to camp and summer programming. Filling that gap for 10 weeks over the summer, we found was critical. The learning gap, the social gap, all the things that kids really miss over the summer, we found a way to address it through our summer camp and our leadership programs. And we've been rewarded with high participation and extra money to continue to fund that mission. PE enrichment is an area that didn't exist 4 years ago, like I said, and we're really making a concerted effort to grow in those areas. And we've seen some really good results, not only at schools in Santa Barbara Unified, but with our amazing partnership at Foothill Elementary. It's just been great over the last couple of years. You can see some of the menu. We had the basics 6 years ago, you know, swim lessons, master swim, you know, basic day camp, one resident camp at Sequoia Lake, a little bit of sports camp, some basketball, some baseball. Tina Vincent, our head program director, who's here with me tonight, has done an amazing job at building that youth sports, PE development, summer camp program. And then you look at our menu now, and it's really vast. We're doing 2 weeks over on Catalina Island at Camp Fox, which was a historical place for our YMCA. We used to be there 20, 30, 40 years ago, and then the program just ended. So we brought that back 4 years ago. It's been great. She's got a summer camp caravan that goes through the redwoods and the coast and teaching kids about outdoor education and being good stewards of the environment and challenging them on whitewater or rafting trips and really trying to bring out the best in these kids. And you've seen growth in our sports programs. Indoor soccer we've added, flag football, a great baseball program now that really, you know, there's a gap between Dos Pueblos Little League, you know, Goleta Valley and Santa Barbara Pony, and they don't address that 3 to 5, 3 to 6 year old demographic, and we have through some of our sports program, which is great. And our program membership has really been growing. You look at the snapshots, just kind of our budget. 5 years ago, we were about $1 million operation for just programs, but we were running it at a loss of $108,000 a year, which hurts a little bit. You try to make it up on the membership end, you try to make it up in grants, and sometimes you just can't cover all that. The last year we did this, and we just got audited, 2013-2014, our next year numbers are coming out here in about a month. We grew to $1.4 million in program and services at a net of $14,000, which is amazing. We're not in it to make money, but that's on there just to show how much we've grown and how much we've dedicated ourselves to developing youth and growing programs. So we're really excited about that. The last page is kind of our secrets to success, although there's really no secret. It's just about service, and it's about impact, and it's about giving back to the community that's given you so much over the last 128 years now. You know, we've been in Santa Barbara since 1887, which is amazing. We are the longest continually serving nonprofit charity in Santa Barbara, and that's something that really makes us feel proud. But we knew we can do more, so we really wanted to reinvest in youth and teen programs. So there's really no secret besides hiring great staff and training them and allowing them to do what they do best. So that was the first thing we did. We saw that there was a gap in staffing and training, so we addressed those. And then we matched those staff with our cause-driven principles, and we just kind of set them loose and said, hey, go have fun, make impact, create programs. We diversified our portfolio, as I've shown. We're not just a swim and gym, you know. That's not what we do. A lot of our history is that, but we've really changed. Youth in Government, Model United Nations, our summer camp program, our teen leadership programs, you know, our service to the after-school community. We've really changed what we do and how we serve, and that's exciting. We incorporated a Why Without Walls starting in 2011, 2012, and just this last October, we opened our Haley Street Youth and Teen and Family Program Center, which used to be Primo's Boxing on the east side of Santa Barbara. And that space became available, and we put an RFP into the city. We presented our plan. We got voted 5-0 in favor of doing it, and we've been operating now for a year, and we're making amazing impact in the Hispanic and Latino community. We're teaching spin classes in Spanish for the first time in our history. We're teaching yoga in Spanish. We have a group strength class. We have after-school enrichment for kids, which is great because part of that community has never had access to wellness. And it's just amazing going down there and kind of seeing what an idea and what a mission can do when you put it into action. So we really wanted to start going outside of the walls of our building on Hitchcock and really reaching out to the community, and it's paid dividends. We want to build meaningful collaborations as part of our strategic plan moving forward, not only with Goleta Union, but with the City of Goleta and with the Parks and Recs Commission. And we've been, you know, we came to a couple of the presentations of the needs assessment, and we got excited because we heard the same thing in our needs assessment. And we think that it's going to take some time, it's going to take some effort, but there's a natural synergy between the YMCA and the City of Goleta, especially when it comes to parks and recreation. Our 2015-18 strategic plan calls us to increase our footprint in the City of Goleta. And we're really excited to be a partner and take your leadership on where those gaps are. And, you know, hopefully we can fill them. And if we can't, maybe we can help with some solutions to point out folks that can. We want to work with the Parks and Recs Commission and just dream and decide and commit and succeed is a big part of our calling card for our strategic plan moving forward. So I know that was really quick, and you probably have like 1,000 questions. But the Y is an amazing organization. It's given me so much of what I have ever since I was a child growing up in Glendale, California, and going to the Glendale YMCA and going to Camp Fox and playing Y Winners basketball and T-ball. It was great for my family. It was a place where we all felt safe, and it was something for all of us to do. And now in my career, I'm very excited about our next steps as an organization, because we look west and we see Goleta, and we're just like, we see the potential, and we see a city that is in its infancy but has a ton of potential to do great things. And I think, like I said, I think we share a lot of the same passions and vision for our citizens. You know, looking at the numbers today, almost 30% of our entire membership are citizens of Goleta. And that's saying something for, you know, we're serving over 140,000 people in our service area. And we have 9,000 members. 3,000 of those are citizens of Goleta. So anything that we can do to increase that impact and serve our members better, we'd be happy to partner on. So thank you for this opportunity. And do we have time? No time for questions? Or?
No, I think we have time. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want to take
up. You're not also
I can go all night about the YMCA. So. Just give me this when you guys want me off the stage here. So.
Thank you. Appreciate your presentation. And I think we do have questions. Yeah.
Thank you for that presentation.
Sure.
I want you to take a breath now. That was fast.
Yeah, I was trying to speed through it.
No, I appreciate that. What I need to understand, I think, a little bit is where and when is full membership required in the Y to participate in your programs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we offer two different type of memberships. We offer a facility membership where you pay a fee and you can use the entire facility, Group X classes, the aquatic center, any of our babysitting services. And then we created something 3 years ago called a program membership. And it's $50 a year, and it's once a year. And that allows you, one, you become a member of the YMCA, and it allows you access to all of our programs and services that are fee-based. So any of our sports programs, any of our after-school programs. So if you don't want to commit to a facility membership, but you still want the services and programs that are offered by the YMCA, the easy option is take that $50 program membership. You are now a member of the YMCA. You get 6 free guest passes for the year to use the facility, but then you also gain access to all these programs. The neat thing is, as a nonprofit and a charity, we have scholarship and financial aid available to any members that need it. So that $50 is not a barrier. We won't allow it to be an obstacle to sign up for a program. And we're starting to do a few programs where you neither need to be a facility member or a program member. This is just something that we're doing for the community. It might be a one-off service or a program once a month or twice a year, but we invite the entire community to come out. So there's different ways to get about it. Mostly, probably to answer your question, would be the program membership is a great option. Like for the after-school stuff we're doing at Foothill Elementary, we don't require them to be a member of our facility. We just require them to be a program member of the Y.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if I might just follow on with that, sure. You mentioned that you've been working with the Santa Barbara Parks and Rec Department for some time, since we are a nascent commission here.
Right.
I was wondering what we might model or replicate, or what lessons you've learned that make that relationship work, or how it might work better.
Right. I sat through a couple of the needs assessment, and I see the desire of the commission to serve its citizen population through programs and services, and that's not easy work. I've worked my entire career in it. I know it's long and it's arduous, and there's money involved and there's space involved. But when I see an empty space, you know, at a park, that I'm just thinking, man, we can have a program there and we can offer it to the city. When I see school playgrounds empty after school because kids have nothing to do, that's something that that when we look at programs and services, we know that's an area that we can connect. And then going through the needs assessment and kind of hearing the feedback from the citizens, I think skate park was one of them, and access to swim lessons or an aquatic center was another one. And then like as a hub, like a third place, not home, not work, but a third place that we can go as a community to be well, I just started taking notes. I'm like, man, we can do that. We can do that. We can partner on that. So, and I haven't dug too deep on the needs assessment, but that's the area I see where there's energy. And the conversations that you have, just the language that the commission uses is the same language we want. We want to impact. We want to serve. We want to make people's lives better that live in this community. So I think there's areas there that you have the space, we have the talent, we have the financial backing. Maybe we can work on something together to serve the community. So, yeah.
Kelly.
Thank you. Yeah, my question is about the Foothill School collaboration. I was wondering if you could just share a little bit more what you're doing there. And also, sure. Do you have that same partnership at any other schools, or is Foothill really a pilot for you in this area?
Yeah, it's a great question. The Foothill's the pilot, not only because our board chair has three kids to go to that school, but Dr. Braney's been incredibly receptive to the YMCA. She has a long history of working with the Y at other school districts in Arizona and I think back east. And we polled the parents and said, if there was one or two needs that a nonprofit could provide on site, what would it be? One of it was kindergarten care or some sort of enrichment program for after school, because there's an hour and a half gap between kindergarten and first through sixth grade. And not being a parent yet, it's like, oh boy, I couldn't imagine having a kindergarten and a third grader and just, okay, just wait at school for an hour and a half.
As the mom of a kindergartner right. and a third grader, I know that tricky situation.
There's that gap, and she's like, what can you do to address that gap? So we came up with the idea of Club K, we call it. And it's a hour and a half program after school, 5 days a week, that has homework assistance and some sort of core value. We'll teach about caring or responsibility or about friendship, and we'll have weekly themes. And it's kind of like diet summer camp, but it's also something that gives back to those kids. And it provides quality care that's safe and in an environment that they trust on campus. The other thing is the after-school enrichment program. And these are fee-based programs. We're doing a Spanish language arts. We've done a Chinese language arts. We've done art, like fine art, teaching them different techniques to draw and paint. We do a sports of all sorts because we saw that was a gap at that school. There was, you know, the PE department's been cut and cut and cut. So so we've done those four things the last couple of years, and it's been we have 90 kids signed up across the board on it. And it's been fairly successful. So we wanted to pilot there to start slow, but think large. We got approached by the principal at Mountain View, I forget his name, at the beginning of the year, like, hey, we're kind of thinking for January this is something that we would be interested in because we've heard really good things from Foothill. So slowly but surely, we're starting to reach out a little bit. But we wanted to start with Foothill, one, because it was safe and we knew the principal. And our board chair has three kids there. But also the setup for us there, the physical plant was great because we get to use the multi-purpose room in the kindergarten area to run our program. So, yeah.
That's great.
So it's been great.
Thank
so.
You.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes, Richard.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Do you know offhand how many Santa Barbara youth you serve? In an annual basis, maybe last year, how many did
yeah,
you serve?
Well, we have access in our service area to 22,000 kids between the age of 2 and 18. That was just taking, you know, census data and kind of doing some little deeper digging on our needs assessment. For the year, through membership and programs and services, we roughly have about 1,100 of those kids involved in our programs as members or program members. That's not counting camp. This summer, we had 2,200 different signups for weeks. It came out to about 650 different kids. So we're right in like that 2,000, 3,000, right in that area. So, you know, it's not great, but it's 12, 15% of the population. If you look at Y's across the country, that's really great. We're like ahead of the curve. We're serving a lot more than your garden variety YMCA.
So of those 22 or 3,200, how many come from Goleta?
So if you just were to take a, you know, our camps, we have a lot more kids from Goleta in our camps than we do our normal programs. I would have to go back and do a zip code search for our by program and get that information to you. Just offhand, if we're looking, you know, 30%, it's probably pretty accurate for programs, maybe a little more in the summer.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not trying to stump you. I'm just trying to figure out. We have very little resources, this commission. Right. But we know that the city distributes community block grants every year that under the mayor's program for community connections. Do you receive money now from the city?
We do not.
Okay.
We do not.
All right. But, you know, we heard, we heard last presentation a couple of months ago now, I guess, from Gersh Park. And the director there was not too excited about the city proposing to repurpose some of our parks into rec fields and play areas.
Right.
They thought that the city of Santa Barbara did a similar thing. And what it did is it drew away from Gersh Park's attendance and some of their programming. Now I'm hearing from you the opposite. You're excited to go out possibly into the city parks and host or partner in programming, which is really exciting. Do you have any agreements with the school district, the Goleta Union School District, now for using their property for activities?
Right. We have an MOU, signed MOU. It's the second year of this MOU, just for Foothill Elementary. And then if we were to add programming at Mountain View, we would do a separate MOU with the school district for Mountain View.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Heidi.
Thank you for your presentation.
Sure.
Interested to hear a little bit more about your 2015 to 2018 plan to increase your footprint in Goleta, and just some, you know, ideas of what that means.
Right.
You're looking for space. You're looking to do school programs. I know, as a mom, you know, Brandon School, that would be welcome to have to kind of fill that gap of after school, or, you know, the 3 to 5 o'clock hour. Or what are your thoughts behind that? Increase the footprint.
Right. So the two areas that we did look at was the schools, providing non-licensed or licensed childcare, depending upon space. And that's always, you know, that's always the toughest part, is finding dedicated space in the physical plant that we can license, that we can run childcare for the school. That's one challenge. But the other one was to do things like remodeling at Foothill Elementary, and eventually, you know, start doing it at every school in the district. The other space was the open spaces. We talked about the parks and parklands here in Goleta. And we saw those two areas as opportunity to partner with the city. So that's kind of been our focus. And through our needs assessment, one of the things that came out loud and clear was aquatics. And there's a lot of challenges into building an aquatic center. But that is something that's kind of on the back burner when we look at Goleta, and just seeing some of the open space or some of the park space that's available. There may be a way to make that happen through the city. So that's kind of like the 2B. But one and two is definitely working with the schools to provide programs on site. And the second one was using the park space to do drop-in programming. You know, putting down possibly a portable was part of our conversation, so we can have at least a program center set up where we have offices and we can kind of help deliver programming either through the city or as an agreement from our YMCA through the city to provide any kind of program at the park. So we do some similar things with the city of Santa Barbara with Ortega Park in our Haley Youth Center and their aquatic center on Ortega, and it worked out really well this summer. So did that answer it? Those are our two major areas of focus, but we did hear loud and clear about aquatics. That's definitely a desire of the citizens of Goleta. So
yes, thank you.
Yep.
Can you tell us, does the YMCA deal at all with senior adult programming and services?
Yeah.
And can you speak to some of that? Because that's actually part of our topic for this evening. And I think most of what you've covered so far has been about youth programming. And
right.
Is there any information you can share about senior?
Sure. We're learning more and more that the older population in town really wants and desires quality programming. What we have currently is our AOA program, Active Older Adults. We have don't hold me to this, but I believe it's 8 group X wellness classes a week. We have water aerobics and water strengthening programs in the Aquatic Center. We run those 5 times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We have our off-site programs. So each month we have a specialty trip for active older adults where we rent a bus and we'll go down to LA and go to the Arboretum and Descanso Gardens, or we will take them to lunch at the pier at San Pedro, or we'll do something at the Rose Bowl. Like, it's a different trip each week. Hearst Castle has been talked about. So we kind of separate the services from the Group X and the wellness programs, but it is something that we're slowly starting to build. We do see the need. It's a bit of a tricky deal because there's not a lot of information at WISE across the country on how to do it and how to do it well. So we're kind of trying little things here and there to see what works. But our active older adults program seems to be the best fit for that age group. So we definitely would like to expand it. You know, through our needs assessment, we learned a little bit, partnering with like Marvia or like one of those type organizations to bring people to the Y has been probably the most likely where we'll reach out. But we haven't ruled out bringing what we do to locations, to that kind of the wall, why without walls. It works fairly well for active older adults. So that's just something we've been looking at. We just haven't quite nailed it yet. But we're comfortable doing either bringing folks to us or us going to the folks.
And as a follow-up, like we asked about the youth, do you have any information about the number or proportion of your services that are provided to people in Goleta?
Yeah, I'll have to do the research. I can run a zip code locator for all of our members and in our program areas, and I will get that information back to you, and then you can pass it on to the commission.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Just to follow on the senior questions, for your membership programs, do you have an idea of statistically what the age groups are for seniors and middle age and youth?
Right. So we have 4 types of membership. We have a youth and teen membership. So that services a single youth or teen if their family doesn't want to join and they want to be part of the Y to work out and take classes. That's one category. That's our 12 to 18-year-old demographic. So once they turn 18, they're considered adults. So we have adult, a single adult membership, which is 18 through end of life, really. So it's across, we have senior members that have an individual membership. But we do have a senior membership, and we're kind of working at doing a income-based for senior and maybe just getting rid of the senior membership and looking at income-based membership. But right now they can be an adult single member to 65 years old, and then they can transition into a senior membership, which is our 3rd option. And then we have a family membership, which is 1 or 2 adults sharing the same household with 1 to 8 children in the household. So that one membership covers everybody in the household. About 40% of our memberships are family units. About another 35% are single adult memberships. The other 20% is seniors and youth.
Thank you. Sure. Any other questions from the commission? All right. Well, right. Thank you. And thank I'm you. Sorry. Ucolano.
It's okay. A tough one. It's Italian.
Good. Okay.
Sicilian, really, but it's a tough one. So, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Ucolano.
Okay, thank you,
appreciate
guys.
It.
Appreciate it, Chair.
Thank you, Vince. And with that, you know, I will go through my brief presentation, and what I'll ask is if the commission is amenable, we will follow the same format that we did at the last meeting, where we'll ask each commissioner to individually go one by one and kind of give us their thoughts on any feedback you have on youth and senior programming. So we had the presentation from the YMCA. I'll review some of the information that was related to these topics that was found in the REC needs assessment. Give the commission a little bit more information on the City of Goleta's programming support for recreation, and then we'll have our commission discussion. So as you saw in your staff report, the REC needs assessment identified the need for more youth and senior programming as one of the high priority items. However, it didn't go into too much detail on exactly what types of programming that could be or identify any more specific programs that we could pursue. However, we do have some information from the telephone survey, the electronic survey, and then some comments that we heard at the workshops. The telephone survey, as you'll recall, which was a statistically valid outreach tool that was part of the REC needs assessment, identified 33% of those that took the survey stated they were frequent users of recreation programs in the last year. 12% stated they were frequent users of senior or mature adult services and programs, and 67% of Goleta households identified a desired new program, class, or lesson. The programs that were most often stated in the phone survey were, and as we've heard, I think none of this will be a surprise, swimming lessons, before or after school daycare, that should probably be before and after school daycare, preschool care, and camps for school-age children during school recess or vacation periods. The electronic survey asked respondents to provide input on recreation programming they would like to see in Goleta. Some of the most frequently cited responses included cooking and nutrition classes, swimming lessons, language classes, yoga, social gatherings for seniors, volunteer opportunities for seniors, senior fitness, and dance lessons. 13% of responders to the electronic survey identified the need for classes, lessons, and community events as their top improvement they would like to see the city of Goleta implement. Now, as the commission knows, the city of Goleta doesn't directly provide recreation programming in the community. However, the city and the city council does provide support to nonprofit organizations throughout the community that do provide those types of services. One of the biggest being, as we've heard, Gersh Park does some programming, and the Goleta Valley Community Center. In addition to those big ticket nonprofit organizations locally, Commissioner Rojas pointed out the city has a CDBG program, which is a community development block grant program, as well as a city grant program. Those are two different opportunities for nonprofit organizations to apply and seek funding to support their programs. They're very wide-ranging programs as far as what qualifies, but there are quite a few recipients that have a recreation tie here in the community. And some examples of those are listed in the presentation and include the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, the Goleta Boys and Girls Club, the Goleta Valley Girls Softball Association, Mariachi Los Monarcas, the Rotary's Goleta Fireworks Festival, and then several organizations seek funding for specific programs. So for example, the Audubon Society seeks funding for their winter bird count for kids. That's also the case with the South Coast Railroad Museum. They seek funding for their events, such as mostly kids events that they outreach to get, kid participation at their facility. And I noted the Goleta Valley Community Center and Senior Center. One other one that I forgot to put on here was the Goleta Education Foundation received funding this past year for parent outreach classes that they provide for parents of the Goleta Union School District, as well as the Santa Barbara Unified School District, and that's parent engagement classes that they offer in Spanish. So you'll get an idea of the types of programs that the city supports so that The commission doesn't think that just because we don't have a full and robust Parks and Recreation Department, the city and the city council is definitely still very interested and supportive of these types of programs. So the commission's opportunity tonight, after getting some of this information and a refresher on what we heard in the rec needs assessment, in addition to the presentation from the YMCA, is to allow you to have a discussion on what types of areas you might want to prioritize for staff to bring forward to the city council regarding programming, whether it's looking at some of these types of partnerships when we look at joint use agreements, pursuing, you know, a discussion with organizations such as the YMCA for programming in our city parks. Those are definitely some things that would be open to you if the commission feels those are priority items that staff could then evaluate feasibility and bring back some more information at your November meeting, where we'll be looking at all of the recommendations comprehensively. With that, I will open it up for questions, and then we can have a discussion.
Yeah, and before we start, I do want to note that Commissioner West was very disappointed that she wasn't able to be here tonight, and she pointed out that she's had decades of service as the geriatric services coordinator for Santa Barbara County, so she has a lot of expertise in that area in particular, and I do hope that she would have the opportunity to have direct contact with the staff to be able to add to whatever discussion we have this evening as well. So I just want to make note of that. All right, Greg.
I had a quick question that I'm not very familiar at all with the block grants and how that functions, but could you at least speak to whether or not the objectives that are trying to be met are put out by the city, or is it the organizations that just basically submit their pitch for funding?
Yeah, and I have a list of this year's recipients. It's an annual program. You must be a nonprofit organization, but as far as the mission or the types of programs that are funded, it really ranges from, you know, as you'll see here, recreation focus to just social services. Some of the past funded programs include the senior lunch program, housing assistance, affordable housing types of projects. So it really is a broad range. The city grant program is a fairly new process that is, because the CDBG is monies that the city receives, there's more paperwork involved in that grant. And so the city council established the city grant program, which the city controls and has a little bit more flexibility in what types of things are funded. But there's an annual grant funding cycle that is administered through the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Department. The grant opportunity is noticed out to the community, and organizations apply for funding. It goes to a subcommittee, which reviews the applications, and that's a committee made up of a couple of council members as well as other representatives from the community. And then the full city council makes recommendations on funding. But they really try to spread around as much support as possible.
But the city isn't defining the needs. The organizations are.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, Richard.
I'm looking at page 3, I think, of the presentation. We learned through the rec needs assessment that 67% of the Goleta households identified a desire for a new program, class or lesson. If we total the four bullets there, that's 18%. Where is the other 82%?
Based on the data that we received from the consultant, the rest were in the under 1%. It really ranged from a lot of different things, but I can bring, you should have a copy of that data in your rec needs assessment.
I turned my copy in with the edits. I never got one back.
I will definitely get the commission.
I kind of recall a conversation, Chair Richards, that when we looked at the other activities that the consultant, actually that the community recommended through the consultant's work, things like reusing play fields and developing kid play areas or building ice skating rink, all those things. I thought we had asked staff to come back and take an operational look at those things and provide us with some sort of priority based on low-hanging fruit. What can be done? What's going to take a multi-year budget approach? I also remember the consultant telling this group that this particular survey component was not very rich in data. So his recommendation was that we take another ask of the community in this particular area. So that might be something we think about. You know, either do we hire another consultant to do it, or we do it in-house through one of, you know, through the Goleta newsletter, saying this is the results of the record needs assessment. Respondents said that they are interested in these type of activities. Let's ask again, is this still accurate, or are there other activities that folks would like to do? It's kind of like focusing now on the original question and trying to flesh that out, because I'm not sure this is enough to bite on to make a significant decision.
I tend to agree with you at maybe taking another look and talking to the community, because when you look at the telephone survey statistics, which mm-hmm. I did last night, and I had the original thought when it first came out, I believe it was only about 200 people, the sample, and it, you know, had a range of ages, but it was, the majority was older without kids. And I think that, you know, I know statistically that you can figure out how things, you know, how the input should be. Right, a valid sample, but I don't know that the telephone survey in particular provided enough or a representative sample of truly what our community wants. And I wasn't able or not involved when you did the workshop, so I'm not privy to all of those conversations. I just know what you know has been presented. And then the electronic survey seemed like it had you know, a little bit better data to use. So I am entertaining the idea that we get a little bit more information. And then one other thing, when you get a chance, if we can get an update on the status of the feasibility study of the Civic Center. I know that that was something that got delayed, and it seems to be part of this, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Chair Richards, if you don't mind, I can respond to some of that.
Yeah, and before you do, I just wanted to clarify, the one comment you made is that you would support getting more information, I think, through another survey, or what would be your idea of that?
Maybe a more specific survey, and maybe it is a telephone and electronic and paper, but getting a little bit more information about what those programs, what the community wants for those programs, because I just don't feel like we should rely on just the telephone survey data.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. And, you know, this is exactly the kind of feedback that we as staff need from the full commission as part of this process with these four meetings where we're talking about this. I also recall that the consultant, RJM, also suggested we consider, or that the commission consider, a focused assessment just for senior programs and senior needs, in addition to what Commissioner Rojas and Commissioner Jones have pointed out. So the commission could definitely highlight that as a priority for staff moving forward, and we could evaluate what kind of options we have, whether it's something that would be relatively simple as another electronic survey or some other you know, method with the Monarch Press, or if it's hiring a consultant to do you know, statistically valid, more in-depth survey. Staff can look at what kind of options there are for that if the full commission would like that to be a priority. And I know Mr. Adamides can provide a brief update on the Civic Center when the commissioner is ready to hear about that.
I'm in support of what's being said, but I'm wondering about how big an effort it's going to become. We've been talking a lot about leveraging resources. We have one in the Y. With their AOA, I think I got the acronym right, for their older adults programs and so on. But we also have the resources in the community of Miramar and the other retirement centers that we may be able to leverage more easily than trying to do a dragnet of the community. Obviously, it's a focused community, but at least leveraging some of that expertise that's already out there, you know, even though you're just dabbling in learning about the senior needs, I'm just worried that we end up spending a lot more time with another kind of a mini needs assessment.
Yeah, Richard.
I was too thinking about analysis paralysis, actually, when I was speaking. I like the idea of going to retirement centers for focus work. I mean, I'd be willing to volunteer on that group, and I'm sure there are other members that might as well. But what I was thinking was probably even more, I don't know, what's the word? I guess focused. What do we have to offer? I mean, even if we ask the community, give us your top 10 recreation activities, you know, if the city had the money that we could provide you next year, could we provide them those activities next year? So without answering that, another approach is that we make a recommendation to staff to help flesh out an idea that I happened to go online and I was looking at the city of Carpinteria and the city of Buellton, Solvang, and what they offer in communication to their residents about activities, recreation activities to youth and seniors and adults, but not all provided by the city. So this is like a network. This is where people come to the city's website to learn about what everybody's doing about recreation. This is something we could do pretty easily here with not a lot of cost. But the hook for me would be in either the community block grant or the community grant program, we work with staff to give the council recommendation that any grant that gets approved by this city will provide a communication to this particular tool. You give us your schedule, you give us your fees, how do we get a hold of you? So that if I was a new resident to the city of Goleta, I go to the webpage for the city and I look under Parks and Recreation and I see this calendar or this newsletter or something. And, you know, with a caveat, you know, someday we hope to provide you every program that you might imagine. But until then, we have a partnership with all these different entities. And this is the way we'll do it for the time being. So that's another idea of not burdening the city with an expectation or the residents with a false expectation.
Mm-hmm. My thought, I was looking at this list of the city-supported programming, and I do appreciate the fact that, you know, obviously we can't provide all these services ourselves as the city, and it is great that we do support them. I worry about the how... I don't know a lot about this process. I don't know much about this process, like how the call for funding goes out, how these decisions are made. So maybe we could hear more at another date about how that works. That might be good for us. It feels like these, you know, we're somewhat touting these services as being provided and provided within the city and supported by the city, although not provided by the city, but it would be useful information to have to look at this and for me to think, well, look at it more strategically. Like, okay, these are what that these service providers are offering, and these are what is being requested. But who's being missed in that process? You know, it doesn't seem. I don't know how. Like how it's being coordinated in a strategic way, or is it, my concern is just that there would be people that would be missed, or there would be services that could be out there that we should be focused more on, or maybe encouraging more services in this area because, you know, these people are being served over here, but this over here is being missed or something. So I don't know. You might be able to give a quick answer to that.
No, thank you, Chair Richards. Those are great questions. The CDBG program and the city grant program are managed by Ms. Claudia Dato in our department, so we can certainly have her come and give a more in-depth overview of those programs. And they've had a little bit of evolution over the last couple of years, so this is actually a perfect time for her to come and give you an overview of what that process is so that the commission is more familiar with that. And the suggestion from Commissioner Rojas about giving City Council some guidance or some recommendations on areas that they might want to pay special attention to is certainly one that staff can take down if the Commission feels that that's something we'd like to include as part of our recommendations to Council.
And I do support, Richard, your idea of using, having like a clearinghouse type of information, especially if these are programs that the city is supporting, I think it would be great to get the word out there and to help them more. I do support that. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to also provide support to the idea of using the website in a more efficient way to, you know, I know it's kind of a tangent from what we were talking about with assessment, but I think it could be a really effective and efficient tool, and it's, like you said, somewhat easier than developing new programming, which we hope to get to, but just using the website and kind of creating that clearinghouse, a calendar that makes sense, and even if, again, not to dive too far into it, but even if you could sort potentially by types, you sort of this massive calendar that allows, you know, all the different areas, but if you could sort by type, you know, talking about senior youth or youth or, you know, other areas, that then we could really identify what is out there in one place, and then better evaluate the gaps, then better evaluate what's not being provided by our partnerships and our, you know, collaborations. So I'd love to hear more about that or look into furthering that discussion.
Yes, Jay.
I was wondering, for the electronic survey, how was that, like, publicized? Was that just on the website and then anyone could take it?
Commissioner Sinskull, no, it was posted to the website, to the city's social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, in the Monarch Press. We had flyers that had a link to it. So we had various methods by which we put outreach out for residents to participate in. And I don't have the number right in front of me, but we had a really high participation for that electronic survey compared to other surveys that the city has done. But we had, I believe, over 200 responses.
And then for that survey, was it, could you, like, categorize it, like, who took it? Like, was it seniors? And then do you know, like, the youth's number or stuff like that?
Yes, we do have a demographic breakdown of that. We did, I can't believe it's been almost a year now, did a presentation on the results of that survey, and I can send that out again to the commission just to refresh your memory on the demographic breakdown. But it did pretty closely mirror the breakdown in our population as far as participants who took it.
All right, thank you.
I'm kind of lost where we are in the the discussion. Are we done with, we're done asking you questions about your portion. Are we ready to move on to broader discussion?
Yes, yes, please.
I'm just trying to get my bearings.
Unless there are any other specific questions for staff at this point.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for the questions. And I have taken down some notes on what has already started to come bubble up from the commission, but we can certainly go around the dais to any other comments that you might have.
The floor is open. Anyone like to volunteer themselves?
I don't need to add. I really think that we covered it, and the calendar piece is where I think I'd like to focus. So I'm not.
Yeah, I'll just vote one more time for if we're going to focus on activities, senior and youth programming, let's ask again the community how we do that in the most efficient way. I'll trust that staff will give us some recommendations. And then the second piece of a communication tool that maybe we talk to our presenter next time, that's going to talk in depth about the grant process. Maybe we could ask her to include, you know, a requirement that we communicate, that those that receive funds communicate, and we post on our website. And I might even beg for some scholarship money, but I'll wait till next time.
So we can just go in order if you like. Do you have anything, Jade?
Oh, just doing probably another survey, just getting a more accurate data. And then also, like, that calendar idea, like, just having it there in front of for all the community to see, just to see what's going on and all the activities and lessons that are provided for the community.
Okay, thank you.
I also think the website activities calendar is a great idea. And beyond just including calendars from the programs that receive block grants through the city, but even going beyond and having links to Gersh Park or YMCA, though it's, you know, outside the city, but Parent Click as well. They always have a lot of activities on their calendar. So I think providing those links for things to do for our citizens is a great idea. I would be interested in looking at joint use agreements, prioritizing that and looking at the existing spaces and places that we have, and where we can expand on them, and looking at a broad brush of how we can provide some of these needs that are outlined, cooking or swimming or dance classes, yoga classes, fitness classes. We might be able to do some of those things in existing facilities or through joint use agreements. For example, I know my dad was a Lions Club member for years, and they had a clubhouse, and they rented it out to, or even loaned it out to the city or programs for cooking classes, or they had, you know, a kitchen. So I don't know if we have Rotary or Lions or other club memberships that might have facilities that we could do cooking, for instance, or other facilities where we could do other types of classes. And then... yeah, I think I already mentioned I would like to hear about the Civic Center, but we can do that at the end.
Okay. Mr. Hart.
I guess I'm still struggling a little bit with the vagueness of the needs that we have in this realm. So I really think that the focus needs to be on somehow clarifying what the needs are, what the wishes are, and so on. I did like, and I don't even know who came up with it initially, but the maybe a subcommittee of this commission that can solicit more of the data from the senior centers that we talked about. I'm speaking specifically for the senior group right now. I think the youth component, we have enough data. I think we've got enough organizations we can draw from. Maybe there's some holes, I'm not sure, but on the senior area, I feel like we have a big hole that we need to fill in terms of defining it. And I guess I feel a need a little bit to do that before we can kind of prioritize, but also because there's been a theme from our group, and that's been about partnerships. And before we start talking about, you know, memorandums of understanding with the schools and so on, there may be a senior component that we might want to advocate for. So I'd really like to get that piece more well-defined before we jump to any of those initial steps. So I don't think that's a very focused answer, but I do support the subcommittee idea, and I would be happy to participate, but I certainly think Commissioner West would be a valuable member, if not a chair of that subcommittee.
Is it within our authority to create a subcommittee at this point?
I believe there is a precedent with other commissions for subcommittees, but staff can confirm that. But I believe that wouldn't be an issue.
And how many commissioners would be able to serve on that?
You could not have a quorum, so because we have a seven-member, we could have up to three.
Okay. And just a poll of the people here who might be interested in serving on that subcommittee. Right. The idea that I was thinking was the senior-focused one. So, Richard.
And we want to save a spot for Commissioner West.
Yeah, she's at the top of my list here.
I would say it's not about who's interested in participating, but I think knowing Commissioner West and then...
Okay. Who's most qualified.
Right. Plus two, right.
Well, so we'll check. Staff will get back to us about our authority to do that, but it looks like there would be some interest in that, definitely.
Great. Yes, staff can confirm that and then come back with an agendized item where you could take action on who would be part of that subcommittee.
Great, thank you. I personally didn't have really much to add, just to reiterate some of the things that have already been discussed. I do like the idea of getting more data and really focusing. I'm not sure how that looks. That's my problem. I don't necessarily support another survey. I like the idea of this focus group, so I think that was probably the best way for that group to really think about how to collect that data and get more information. Other things that we talked about, I'd be interested in learning more about the grant process and looking forward to a presentation about that, or at least like some information. I like the idea of the website and the calendar and the clearinghouse, the joint use agreements, and the Civic Center. So those are all items I'd support and would like us to investigate more. I'm also looking at the assessment that's in, I have a copy of it, and there were a couple things in here that I thought were relevant that hadn't been brought up, and I want to make sure that they stay on the table. The one is the community garden idea, and I'm not sure if that best fits in with this topic tonight, but I feel like it could be at least tangentially relevant, so I want to mention a plug for that. I think that's a good idea. I think we should be pursuing that. And of course, the swimming pool and aquatic center, like that was in there as well, and I think that would be very relevant as well. All right. Any additional comments or thoughts? All right. Thank you very much, everyone, for your input. I think that concludes item B on the agenda. And so now we're at item C, future agenda items. Yeah, I think we have a list already.
Yes, your next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, November 18th. We have a couple of follow-up items that we will report back on, and that will really be the meeting where staff will bring back a consolidated summary of the recommendations that the commission has had over the last several meetings, and allow you to discuss, what we will take to the city council in any kind of prioritized list, and staff will make every effort to delve into a little bit more detail as far as the questions that were part of some of those recommendations, so that we can bring back as much information as we can to help you make an informed decision.
Okay, thank you very much. Director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. We've had a good discussion tonight, and obviously it looks like certainly the peeling of the onion is the REC needs assessment document begins to really delve deeper into many of the important topic areas that the commission has. And so as staff has previously let the commission know, we'll be getting much deeper into some of these things now that we have the REC needs document, and there will be an evolution coming out of this for quite some time. Just a few items for the commission tonight. First, wanted to share with the commission that the Lemon Festival at Gersh starts this Saturday and Sunday at Gersh Park, starting at 10 a.m. So a great time to become familiar with all the things that can be made from lemons. And a good time for kids and everybody and members of the community for a great community event. September is National Preparedness Month, and the council on September 1st adopted a proclamation declaring that September is good Emergency Preparedness Month here in Goleta. And this year's theme is Don't Wait, Communicate, Make Your Emergency Plan Today. As many of you know, we're expected to have El Nino climate and weather activities going on. So it's a good time to be prepared for winter events like storms and floods and rain, and checking your emergency kit, making sure that it's current and up to date. Your contact information with friends and family members is current. We also have an important emergency preparedness effort conducted in the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Department. And Ms. Reyes-Martin heads up our CERT program, and we have some training coming up starting this week for people who are interested.
Yes, we have a CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Team basic training class. It's an 8-week FEMA curriculum that kicks off this Thursday evening for 8 weeks until November 12th. This will be a really unique class that the City of Goleta will host, in that it's the first time that we will be doing a concurrent English and Spanish CERT class. So we will have two classes going simultaneously. The instruction will happen in separate rooms, but a lot of the hands-on skills training and the disaster simulation that is the culmination of the class will be everyone working together. And we have seen in the countywide CERT drill, where we have all of the Spanish CERTs and the English CERTs working together, that model is really critical and is a great experience and training for our certs to learn how to work together if there's a significant language barrier. And they really learn a lot about how to communicate and how to be effective certs in a very realistic situation that we might encounter here on the Central Coast. So we're very excited for that class to kick off. We have, as of today, close to 32 students for in both classes together, which is a great size. And we are still getting a couple of last-minute sign-ups. So that'll be really exciting, and we'd be happy to give the commission an update at the end of the class how it went.
And the last item that I had was just a quick update on the Civic Center update. As the commission is aware, staff is working with several consultant teams in the proposed Civic Center for Old Town. Most recently, staff was in front of the City Council on July 21st to provide a lot of feedback with regard to design components of the Civic Center. There was feedback provided by the council that related to the police substation, that it not be a standalone building, that it be incorporated into the Civic Center building itself, that it be more of a storefront. There was also feedback related to Rainbow and Head Start School, seeking to see if there were opportunities to retain those uses on site within the configuration of the buildings on the property, continuing to work with the Boys and Girls Club, and looking at the area in front of the Boys and Girls Club, actually to the east of the existing building for some potential siting of buildings on that site. So there were design changes and looking at also revising some cost estimates related to the Civic Center project. Staff just took on the 15th of September, last Tuesday, a request which was approved by the council for extension of the contract time and also some additional funding to cover surveying and mapping, environmental services, looking at the ESHA to the southern part of the property that touches the creek there. So also importantly, the council asked for a traffic analysis to look at the impacts resulting from the siting of a Civic Center in Old Town and how that would affect the traffic. So there's obviously some environmental work going on. So this is kind of a summary of what happened on July. I don't have the complete minutes in my mind, but just going off some notes, staff expects to be back in front of the council in the next couple of months as we're continuing to work with the consultant teams on all of this. There's a lot of moving parts to this project, so we hope to be back in front of the council certainly before the end of the year. And we could also at some point, if the commission would like, have a more in-depth report for you, an update, if you will, on the Civic Center project once it, once all of the pieces stop moving and we have all the reports back from the various consultants who are helping us on this. So it's an important project for the city as well as for Old Town. So as the commission can imagine, there's a lot of work going into this. So I hope that just gives you kind of a quick summary of what's going on there. As Ms. Reyes-Martin mentioned, the next commission meeting is on November 18th. Is our last meeting of the year, if you would like to make note of that. Let me repeat that, the last meeting of the year. I know it sounds hard to believe that we're at this point in the year already, but this year has gone by quick. And as we look back and you look at some of the agendas that we've had this year, you can really see the amount of ground that has been covered. And the commission should really feel proud of the fact that we've covered a lot of material and a lot of information in this last year that's important. So staff is pleased to continue to work with the commission and helping bring all these items to you and have good discussions like we did today. That concludes my director's report.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the report. And seeing no other items, I think this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.